Have your Bibles this morning. If you would turn to Ephesians, we'll primarily stay there in that passage, chapter 2. But I do want you to turn to John 14. And I want you to notice John 14, verse number 27. I'm going to speak this morning on one word. That's the word peace. It literally means to join. It's when your conscience joins with God's plan for you, and there's peace. In other words, there is no peace, the Bible says, without the Lord. Many people have tried to get their heart to the point of peace. So they buy things. They unsettled. There's called shop therapy. You know, you can go to the mall and you start shopping and buying stuff and it makes you feel better. That brings a measure of peace until the end of the month when the bill comes in. Okay? There are people that get peace in all kinds of different ways. But there's only one way. And if you'll notice the passage that we read, that Brother Scott read, notice in Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he, the Lord of heaven, is our peace. He is the one that gives us a settledness in our heart where we are comfortable with ourselves and comfortable with the Lord. Now, I want to draw your attention this morning. If you'll notice in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, let me go back. And Genesis chapter 2, God made Adam and Eve and he made them perfect. And they lived in the Garden of Eden and it was perfect. There were no bees in it that stung. There were no thorns in it that there were no nothing to cause a problem. There were no weeds in it. There were no worms in the fruit. Everything was perfect. And so Adam and Eve were told, look, you can do anything you want in this beautiful place. You can eat anything that you want. It's all for you. One tree, don't eat up. Now, from time to time, we have to do that with our children. Son, you can do this, or daughter, you can do that, but don't do this. And what's the one thing they want to do? The one thing you told them not to do. Well, they got that from Adam. All of us got that from Adam. And so we fell, the Bible says, into sin. In other words, notice the passage, chapter 2, verse 1, verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. All of us either are doing that now or have done that in the past. And notice, according to the prince and power of the air, that's the old devil. In other words, we're following the plan of Satan. Either we follow the plan of the Lord or we follow the plan of Satan. The plan of the Lord is love and kindness and meekness and graciousness and thoughtfulness and encouraging words and being good to people and walking right. And the plan of the old devil is I do what makes me happy. I want to be happy, and so I'm going to buy what I want. I'm going to get out from under all the rules. I want to do what I want to do. It's a selfish, me-first plan. Satan came up with it. Eve walked over and said, I know God said don't eat of that fruit, but it sure looks good, and I want it. And then Adam, I want it too. And they fell into sin. From that day until now, that nature, it's called the old nature, is in all of us. It's what causes us to argue and fight. It's what causes us to lose our friends. It's what causes us to be without peace. Because the author of peace is the Lord of heaven. And if we live underneath the prince and power of the air, we will never have peace. Oh, you might have it for a few nights as you get into that new car, but you'll lose it whenever all of a sudden time goes along and you get a flat and you get somebody bangs your door and pretty soon it's just an old car now. And we lose that something that we had. You see, God's peace is lasting because it's between he and us, and he knows our heart, what it takes to give us that settledness, that tranquility. Turn your Bible to John. Now flip over your finger. We originally had John 14. Look, if you would, in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. The world gives peace that's temporary. The Lord gives peace that's permanent. Now, we can still lose it, and there are certain ways. I want to go over a little bit of that this morning. But the peace of God can be permanent in your heart. That's where the joy of the Lord comes from. We have a joyful heart. We can have pain, but still be joyful because we know our Heavenly Father, and we know He loves us, and He's watching out for us. And so there are certain things that we learn how to trust the Lord, and He gives us a peace through the most difficult of times. But if we don't have the peace of God, no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of pleasure can give you lasting peace. If you have your Bible, keep reading verse 27. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. There it is. You don't have to worry. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't worry about the test on Monday. Prepare for it and don't worry about it. Turn it over to the Lord. Don't worry about the project due. Turn it over to the Lord. Do your best. Lord, I need your strength and help, and turn it over to the Lord. He wants you to live in peace so that the smile is always there. And you know what? Only our nature and the flesh that gets involved causes us to lose that sweet peace that God has for everybody. I am your peace, he says. And he says right here, he said, I'll give it to you. So it's not something that we have to buy. It's a gift. Notice what he says. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So you can have it. You and I just have to do the things that are in his will. And that peace comes automatically with it. Now, notice with me if you would. He says, be not troubled, neither let it be afraid. So the fears are in Satan's plan. What if? Some people can't get past what if. They always think about what if. Anybody ever bought a house recently? Anybody bought a house and you signed a contract? You know, I did it for someone one time a few years back. They were going to be out of town. They said, would you sign for me? And I had a power of attorney, and I signed for them. I didn't realize what I was getting into. I signed 169 times. You know why that is? What if they don't do this? What if they don't do that? What if they do this? What if they don't do that? So bankers are fearful all the time. Lawyers are fearful all the time. Christians are to be the happiest people on the face of the earth because let not your heart be troubled. You believe also in God, believe also in me. I've got it covered if you'll learn to trust me. The first thing that we have to realize, we have to have peace with God. Notice if you have your Bible, turn back over to chapter 2 of Ephesians. And notice this. Only simple 2 points, peace with God and peace with self. Notice if you would, peace with the Savior, peace with self. Notice if you would, in verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh. Did you get that word? All of us, everybody in this room, you, me, all the deacons, all the choir members, all the orchestra players, we all, notice the wording in verse 3, we all had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past in the lust of the flesh. Those are the things we lived over here. We wanted things that we wanted. I want to be out of control. Nobody tells me what to do. So I'm going to go join the Marines. I've had a lot of guys say that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. They're going to tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, when to point your gun, how to point your gun, how to hold your gun. And they're going to say, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go join the military. I'm going to go. Look, if you want to not anybody tell you what to do, you'll never have the peace of God. Because I'm commanded. Dave Pittman, you love your wife. So if I'm going to have the peace of God, I've got to love my wife. If I'm going to have the peace of God, I've got to love you. If I'm going to have the peace of God, I have to do what's right. I have to bridle my tongue. We learned that in Sunday school. If I'm going to have the peace of God. So as I say, Lord, give me peace. And he gives me directions of things I can do to bring that peace that floods my heart. And I can have the joy of the Lord. But the first one is this. Notice he says, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. There's where immorality comes of all sorts. That's where it comes from, right there. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. This is what I want. So I'm going to do what the prince and the power of the air says. I want that woman. I want that man. I want this. I want that. Notice if you would. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Okay, you say, well, I've never murdered anybody. Have you ever wanted to? You ever been driving and somebody cuts you off? And you didn't have road rage. You didn't take out a weapon. You didn't try to run them off the road, but you wanted to. Anybody here like that? Other than me sometimes. I have to get my heart right. Somebody cuts me off and, you know, I'm trying to be safe. And all of a sudden, somebody just cuts over. And, I'm trying to say, where's a police officer when you need him? You know, let me get my cell phone. There's a guy, his tag number is so-and-so. He's cutting it. Would you come get him? I mean, that gives me peace for about that long. And then all of a sudden, I'm driving and I'm late for something. And so I switch lanes. And now my wife, you know, you learn things about when you get married, you know. You learn things about your mate. And my wife, life gets in one lane and stay there. How many of y'all are like that? Let me see your hands. How many like to get in one lane? Let me see it. Raise it up, okay? So if the little old lady in front of you gets on her cell phone and she's going 36 miles an hour in a 50 and everybody's going around, well, I'm aging by the mile as I'm going. And all I got to do is go click, blinker, go around them. But I'm really trying to please my wife. Last night, I pulled up behind somebody, waiting. I'm trying to be a good husband. Now, in Arkansas, I don't know what part of Arkansas, but she said, we don't honk at each other. They might shoot at each other, but they don't honk at each other. I said, okay, so have you guys ever been sitting at a light and maybe your mind kind of wandered and somebody just went, beep, and you started driving on? Anybody, I want you to watch this. Anybody in this room ever done that in your life? Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. Raise it up, raise it up, raise it up. Come on now, help me. I need help here. Okay, look at that. Okay, see there? Pastor Pittman will not do that. Not anymore, okay? Because my sweet wife is sitting there and says, it's not, I don't know that it's very Christian-like to honk at somebody. So I'm growing in the Lord, okay? And so we're sitting there. I'm in the center lane. I'm trying to figure out which lane do I want this morning. I see the traffic and I got one shot at this. Which one am I going to get in? You know why? I just want to be a good husband. But you know what? Up here, could she just put her to sleep for about 15 more minutes and I'll be at the church? You see, of the flesh and of the mind, we're all guilty of that. I've never committed murder. I've never committed adultery. Whoso looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery in his heart. Oh my. If you want to kill your brother. Now, I'm not saying you'd like to murder him, but I'd like to murder that guy. Anybody ever had that thought? I'd like to just murder that guy. I'm not sure we really meant that, but in our minds we said it. Okay, notice the wording. He says here, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Oh my, we're all in trouble. But I want you to notice, I got great news for you this morning. You're never going to have peace as long as your mind is trying to run this guy off the road and trying to want my wife this, want my husband that. You're never going to have peace because you're always going to have trouble in your heart because nothing is perfect. And so you're just struggling in all your heart. And the Lord says, I've got peace. Yeah, but I want this and I want that and I want this. And, you know, and I like to pay that guy back, man. I can't believe he did that. I mean, you know. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. You know who the us is? It's verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation. The us is all. So all of us that were living on this side, and we do that by nature, and there's really not a thing you're going to do to change it. I mean, how many of you ever tried to flip over a new leaf? It's January, you're going to try to lose some weight. We always eat big at Christmas, Thanksgiving. I'm going to lose some weight in the first year, in the first month or two. And maybe you go join Jenny Craig. You know, their favorite month is January. Do you know that? Everybody comes and joins, and they collect the money in, and everybody goes out the same way they came in, just about. There's a few of them, and they put those stories on the screen. My point to you is that we don't change much. You know why? Because our nature is there. When your nature is bad, you can't change. You need a new nature. And that new nature is the gift of God to you because he loves you. Notice, if you would, notice that passage. Look, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, he wants to give you mercy this morning, but you have to accept it. Notice, for his great love, there's the reason he's willing to give you mercy. Now, if you were to say, Pastor Pittman, why does God love me? I might could come up from a couple of reasons why God would love me, but not you. Isn't that the way we are? When I sit down and think about things that I've done that nobody knows about except him, I begin to ask myself the question, why would you love me? Now, I've been preaching for 54 years, and I cannot tell you from the first day till now why God loves us. I just know he does. And that's the good news. But you will never have peace unless you accept his great love. And it's in the form of a gift. Now notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, so he's willing to raise us up. Who is he willing to raise up? Well, notice verse 7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness through us through Jesus Christ. His greatest gift is Jesus Christ to you. That's the reason the cross behind that screen means everything to us. Jesus paid your debt so that all of this stuff, fulfilling the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, all the things that we want to do can be forgiven. And you can start a new life of great peace and joy. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, for by grace are you saved. You know what grace is? Something you don't deserve. It's a gift. How many of you have given a Christmas present in the last year? Raise your hand. You give Christmas presents. Raise your hand. How many of you did not give not one person a Christmas present at all? Don't raise your hand, okay? But everybody likes to give people something. So my question for you is this. Did you receive it? Okay, how many of you were given a Christmas present and you received it last year? Would you raise your hand? All over the building. Raise it up. Let me see it. You said, okay, I'll accept it. How many raise it? Okay, pretty good crowd. How many of you said, nah, I don't want that one? Raise your hand. No hands. Now listen very carefully. How many of you have ever gotten something, you opened it up and went, oh, socks, wonderful. Underwear, wonderful. How many of you have ever gotten something that, I remember many years ago, my aunt gave me gloves. I lived in Texas. I'm thinking, why would she give me gloves? But you know what I didn't do? I didn't put it in the back of the box and say, I don't need these. You take them back. Jesus has the gift of eternal life for everybody in this room, and it's free. Are you going to send it back? I said, no, I don't need that. When it's the only thing that can bring you peace. It's the only thing that can get rid of all of this sin. Do you have the peace of God in your heart? Notice what he says by verse 8. For by grace, it's a gift, are you saved through faith. We'll come back to that in a minute. But notice what he says, and it is not of yourselves. There's not one thing you can do to get this gift. Nothing. It's already been paid for. Notice, that is not of yourself. You can't come to church and you can't sing and you can't light a candle and you can't get baptized and you can't put money in the offering plate. Now, let me say this to you. If you put $1 million in the offering plate, it wouldn't help you one little bit to get to heaven. But it would make me feel a lot better, okay? So if any of you want to do that, we'll accept it joyfully. But it won't get you from where you are one step, because this gift has already been paid for. It's free. It's the greatest story ever told. It's why I became a pastor. If I became a financial advisor, I would say, look, if you give your money, I'll do this with it. If I became a whatever it might be, I can be a help to you. I can do this. I can do that. A doctor comes in and says, look, I can fix that tooth there. The other day, I had a problem with my tooth and a little piece of it chipped off. And he said, oh, I can fix that. And I went, oh, is that good? You sure? He said, I can fix it. No problem at all. Goes in there, $586. I said, you didn't drill all my teeth, just one. $586. Listen very carefully. There's nothing you can do to get yourself to heaven with the exception of accepting his gift. That's it. But when you get that gift, if you choose to serve the Lord, you say, Lord, I want that gift and I want to do what's right. Look, if you would, verse number 10. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. He's going to work with us to build us and make us. He's going to change us into his image. That's our theme for the year. He'll work with you. He'll help you think right in your mind. He'll work with you because he gives you the Holy Spirit, which is the guide of your life. Notice, created in Christ Jesus, something more happens to your heart when you trust Christ as Savior than just getting a ticket to heaven. Everything changes. The Holy Spirit comes in and begins to help you make the right words and the right decisions. And you begin to think differently. And the Holy Spirit begins to guide your life. One of the greatest illustrations was, I remember seeing one of our missionaries film one of the people in Africa that had gotten saved. And they said, you know, I got saved and everything has changed. It's like I have a policeman in my heart and he helps me do the right thing without the tickets, you know. Just sort of guides me along. Notice, if you would, he says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or planned that we should walk in them. So when you trust Christ as Savior, God's got a plan for your life. And it brings you peace beyond measure if you yield to his plan. Now, if you say, I still want to do and say and think what I want, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. All we can do is pray that somehow the Lord is able to work your heart to the point where you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm a sinner. I did it. I did a lot of things. Will you forgive me? And he'll give you a new heart. Now, you only get it one time. That's it. And it's permanent. Never wears out. And you get a new nature. And the new nature tries to help you do what's right. Now, as an old Indian described it, it's like there's two dogs that want this piece of meat. Which one gets it? He says, the one that's the strongest, the one I feed. If I throw a piece of meat out there and I feed this one all week, and then I throw that piece of meat out there, he'll get the meat. Because this one's too weak. So you learn to feed the good heart that God gives you, the good nature that God gives you. I don't want to lie. I don't want to cheat. I want the Lord to be pleased with me. And so thereby, peace stays in our heart because you know your Heavenly Father's proud of you. I remember being about 7 or 8 years old. And I remember getting my mother a beautiful gold and sort of silver mirror to give to her for Christmas. And I remember she said, now, son, I want you to clean your room and brush your teeth. And I remember saying, you know, I'm going to do what my mom wants me to do. So my room was immaculate. I went and got my toothbrush, and I started brushing my teeth. And looking in the mirror, I brushed my teeth until it began to bleed around the gums. Anybody ever done that? You know, I didn't want my gums to bleed. I was trying to please her. And so if I could carry that desire over with a little common sense, I could really be a good son. If I carry the desire over to please him, I could be a really good son or daughter. You were created for that. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Have you trusted him as your Savior? If not, today can be the day of great peace for you. But peace with God. But then there's peace with self. Peace with a Savior, but then there's peace with yourself. You see, one of the things God does for us, and I know there are a lot of other denominations, religions that don't believe this, but if you could take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 6, I want you to get this. See what you think the Bible says about it, okay? Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. Notice with me if you would. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. Now that's spiritual death. So if you stay on this side and say, I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. I know I did those things, but I don't care. And you never trust Christ and accept his gift. You push it back. Say, I don't want your gift. You're going to die and end up in the devil's hell for the rest of eternity. The reason I know that is look in verse number 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Remember, we talked about it. What is it that this gift God wants to give to everybody in this room, everybody that's ever lived? He wants to give you this gift. What is it? Well, notice what he says. But the gift of God is eternal life. Who paid for it? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, let me back up just a minute. I've met a lot of people that say, I'm saved today. But I don't know about tomorrow because I might do something that I shouldn't do and I would lose it. Now, somebody tell me this. You study a lot of languages when you're preparing for scripture, but I want you to tell me this. How long is Philip? How long is eternal? Are you sure? How long is eternal, Michaela? Eternal is forever. If God gives you a gift that lasts forever, where are you going when you die? Phil? Is that rocket science? And let me ask you this. Let's flip it over. If it's only until you sin again, I remember one morning I said, I'm going to try to live one perfect day. Out of my 70,000 something days I get, Lord willing, 70, I want to live one of them perfect. I didn't even make it till 8 o'clock. And I try to do what's right. How am I ever going to stay saved? And if you're supposed to get baptized after you get saved, well, I might as well just stay right there and not go to supper or lunch and just get in the water and back and forth and back and forth till I got moss growing on my back because I can't make it myself. The gift of eternal life is just that. When you trust Christ as Savior, you become the child of God, and it's forever. How many of you have a father or a mother, or you had one? Now think of that. That ought to be everybody in this room. Would you raise your hand? Okay. Now, and you live with your father and mother, and you tried to please them. Phil, how good a boy were you? Okay, so when you did something, did you ever do something that your father could have said, you don't deserve to be my son? Okay, there are people that did do things that they don't deserve to be that son. But you know what? Nobody can change it. The blood in your veins makes your relationship to your father and mother permanent. They may never speak to you, talk to you, but it can't change. They're your father and mother till the day they die, till the day you die. It can't be changed. So why is it we think that with God, our Heavenly Father, would be any different and say, I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life, but if you think the wrong thoughts, I'm going to take it back. None of us would ever stay saved. The gift of God is eternal. But now, I got saved. I've been given this precious gift. I want it to be something, I want to thank him for it. So I want to do what's right now. I want to be a good son and a good daughter. I want to do the right thing. So God says, if you do that, I'll make that peace you got last permanently. But when you decide, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pay that guy back. I'm a Christian. How many of you, now this is a terrible thing. How many of you have heard of a Christian curse or tell a dirty joke? Someone that claims to be saved, but they cursed or told a dirty joke. Would you raise your hand? Don't you know the heart of God hurts over that? Because he created us unto good works. So what he does is he lessens the peace that we have when we say, I got saved, but I think I want to do this. And it takes away a measure of our peace. But the good part about that is God has a way to get it back. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives us. And we can get up, get back on this side, and keep doing what's right. We don't lose our sonship or our daughtership. We're still going to heaven. But we may have to go back to somebody and say, you know, I said that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Then we have peace with self. Maybe some of you today need to go apologize to somebody and say, I didn't act right in front of you. Maybe it's at school. Maybe it's in home. Maybe it's at work. You didn't do something right. You know it. And you've trusted Christ as Savior. You've accepted his gift of eternal life. Well, you're going to heaven, but if you haven't acted like it, the only thing you can do is go back over here and say, oh, Lord, I am so sorry. And he promises to forgive you. And then that peace inside is 100%. If you have a battery on your cell phone, how many of you have a battery on your cell phone? That is everybody in this room, in case you don't know that, okay? Everybody in this room, okay? If it's a cell phone, it's got a battery to it. And so that battery, mine right now, is at 98%. When I sin against the Lord, maybe my battery is at 90%. Again, 80%. Again, 50%. But I can always put it back to 100 if I just simply say, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Many Christians like to run their batteries between 10 and 50%. You'll never be happy and have the peace God wants you to have. You've got to say, I want this gift and I want to live for you. I want you to help me change my mind so I can think right. Do you know the kind of marriage you could have if you yield yourself to the Lord over here? Do you know the kind of brother or sister or job and the kind of treatment you could have and give to people, the kind of testimony you could have if you just said, Lord, I want to be in your workmanship. I want to be changed into your image. Today, do you have peace with God and with yourself? I've been to different funerals where people did things, couldn't live with themselves. They killed themselves. I went to one teenager who put a shotgun right here and killed himself. Couldn't live for tomorrow. Today, suicide among teenagers is an all-time high. You want to know why? No peace. Either the desire is so great for flesh and lust and things that they take the gift of God and say, not now. I don't want that gift. And they kill themselves because they're so miserable. It doesn't have to be that way with anybody in this room. You can have the peace with God, and you can have the peace with yourself today if you're willing to receive it. If you're willing to say, I'm sorry. Now, saying you're sorry, have to get rid of your pride. That's the hardest thing. Maybe there's somebody that you owe an apology to, your husband or your wife, something that happened recently. Or to a brother or a sister, or maybe somebody at work. Lord, I want your peace back. I'll make it right. Today, the Lord died to give everybody in this room peace, harmony that lasts permanently. Do you have the peace of God in your heart today? You can. Let's bow our heads for the prayer this morning. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of Invitation Hymn, Brother Brandon, to lead us. Maybe you're struggling with some things. There's turmoil in your heart. There's trouble. There's some fears in your heart. Could I ask you to just come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to say I'm sorry. Lord, I'll make it right with somebody else. And maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You've never received the gift of eternal life. Well, you can have it today. You can have a sweet marriage today. You'll have to say you're sorry. You'll have to grant forgiveness like God does. Today, as we pray, if you need to come to this altar and talk to the Lord, could I ask you to do it? If you need to forgive somebody, I'd ask you to do it. Lord Jesus, I have no words to say thank you for loving us. Lord Jesus, I have no words to say thank you for dying for our sins and paying our debt so you could give us the gift of eternal life with you forever. Lord, what an unspeakable gift. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there's anybody in this room, you have the book of eternal life in heaven. Would you look in that book this morning, and if there's anybody in this room that does not have the gift of eternal life in their heart, would you touch their heart this morning? Would you help them come to me like you did me 55 years ago when you touched my heart? Lord, help them to come like you gave me the courage to come and trust you. And then, Father, many of this room carrying weights and burdens they don't need to carry. And they're missing your great peace. Lord, would you help them to come to this altar? Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. Help them to say, Lord, I'll tell that person I'm sorry. Maybe they need to forgive somebody. Maybe they need to pray for somebody that doesn't have peace. They're walking with you, but they're burdened for somebody. Would you bless them today? Now speak to our hearts as only you can. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.